Chapter 3, Planning Challenges for Multinational Operations. This chapter discusses planning challenges, beginning with an overview of campaign preparation. It then discusses the importance of force protection. The chapter also addresses the commander's mission focus and guidance to ensure unity of effort. This chapter discusses planning for the MPE and establishing the MPN within multinational forces. The chapter then provides early planning considerations. Campaign preparation. The ability to alert, mobilize, and rapidly deploy forces in any region is critical to mission success. Understanding the limitations and capabilities of multinational forces' contributions helps create a secure and stable environment. Planners review national military contingents and mission partner assets. These contributions allow the necessary forces to deploy efficiently with the available lift assets. Understanding the current infrastructure and transportation limitations in the region helps the force allocate resources. Once resources are committed, national contingent units and liaison offices coordinate with the mission partners for deployment in the AO. Effective planners anticipate and coordinate requirements to maximize capabilities and minimize resources for the multinational force. This prevents duplication of effort from the lead nation. Force projection for multinational forces. Force projection for a multinational force is critical to mission accomplishment. From the beginning, participants must know the multinational considerations to deploy forces and use lift assets. Multinational operations strive to avoid duplicated effort and unit capabilities. For example, before the UN Protection Force deployed to the former Republic of Yugoslavia, each participating nation performed its own engineer reconnaissance of the infrastructure. This enabled staff to see duplicated efforts and to find omissions in necessary support. Multinational force planners review assets from national military contingents and mission partners and then agree on a division of labor. Limited lift means maximizing efficiency during deployment of forces and sustainment capabilities. This lift requires coordination with troop contributing nations, so units do not deploy capabilities already available, such as port operations forces. In some cases, one multinational force transports another nation's forces to the AO. Liaison officers from national contingents coordinate with the nation moving its forces or with the multinational force headquarters responsible for coordinating the movements with the nation providing lift. See Chapter 5 for additional information on sustainment. Mission focus for the commander. Mission focus is a planning challenge for commanders. Political considerations and military capabilities of the multinational force affect the focus that commanders have on multinational operations. The commander remains focused on the mission and understands the reason each national contingent participates. This mission focus determines the structure and resultant taskings of the multinational force. Commanders need to prevent a multinational force from splitting into components operating under differing political directions. The commander recognizes that political considerations can push an acceptable course of action rather than the optimum military solution. The commander remains flexible to adjust to unforeseen political influences, keeps the multinational force focused on the military objective, and avoids mission creep. Another challenge to mission focus is national differences in doctrine, training, or equipment. Leaders assign functions to a smaller group of partners to overcome differences in doctrine, training, or equipment. For example, the multinational force assigns the mission of support area security to home defense or police forces. Commanders consider tasking members of the multinational force with specific warfighting functions or operations based on the threat's special capabilities and its nation capabilities. Commanders recognize the strengths and differences of the force's cultures. Commanders' decisions and military leadership use the capabilities of the forces. Subordinate commanders request control of forces that provide capabilities not organic to that nation's forces. The guiding principle is to allocate assets as needed and maintain concentrated critical capabilities. The commander's ability to understand and integrate each nation's capabilities into a cohesive force binds a multinational operation together. Commanders articulate their intent. This enables each nation to form the same picture of an end state and the rules governing engagements. Given the language difficulties found in many multinational forces, commanders clearly and simply state their intent. At a minimum, the planning guidance states, the purpose of the operation, a mission statement for the multinational force, broad objectives and tasks for the multinational force, desired end states and guidance on termination or transition, participating nations and expected initial contributions, common security interests, specific national limitations, concerns, or sensitivities. Transfer of authority. The transfer of authority of forces to a multinational commander can impact mission focus. The designated multinational commander will have some form of authority over national units at some point. Planners define limits of authority and accomplish transfer of authority as early as possible. The timing of the transfer is part of the initial negotiations that govern how the multinational force forms. Planners determine when transfer of authority occurs. Early transfer of authority and deployment of liaison teams enable a multinational commander to plan and perform effective integration training through three options. The first option is to arrange transfer of authority to the multinational force before deploying from a unit's home station. Commanders control the unit arrival sequence to best suit operational requirements and facilitate reception area base operations. This option assumes clear political consensus, timely decisions on national participation, and a significant lead time for planning and setting up the multinational force headquarters. The second option is to have transfer of authority at an intermediate staging base en route to an operational area. Forces resolve problems in a secure area. Forces deploy only when fully ready and as required by the multinational force. The third option is to have transfer of authority occur once forces arrive in the AO. This option leaves each nation responsible to deploy and prepare its contingent for operations. It does not allow the multinational force positive control of deployment into the AO. Centralized control of force flow provides the best support to the multinational force's requirements and the best support to the participating forces. Whichever option the commander chooses for transfer of authority, central coordination of deploying forces is preferred. Such coordination prevents repetitive crisis management of reception operations. Each multinational nation has a different way to plan operations. If a lead nation commands the multinational force, then the lead nation uses its own planning. At national contingent headquarters, nations use their own planning. Planning for multinational operations overview. Multinational planning begins before the actual operation and uses generic plans on which to build the actual plan of execution. Depending on the type and nature of operations conducted, planning includes governmental agencies, intergovernmental organizations, and non-governmental organizations. Initial planning typically addresses pre-deployment, deployment, sustainment, transition, roles, participation, and redeployment operations. Based on the identified mission partners and relationships, the commander determines interoperability planning and preparation requirements. Commanders consider whether to establish additional organizational staff coordination centers, such as a mission partner coordination center to support interoperability. They also consider whether to rely on direct coordination between unit and mission partner staff elements to conduct the required interoperability planning and preparation. In accordance with the commander's decision and final planning guidance, the chief of staff or executive officer coordinates with staff principals to assist the G3 or S3 in developing the plan or order. Based on the commander's planning guidance, the chief of staff or executive officer dictates the type of order, sets and enforces time limits and development sequence, and determines staff section responsibilities for attachments within the order. Before the commander approves the plan or order, the staff ensures the plan or order is internally consistent and nests with the higher commander's intent. Mission Partner Coordination Centers, staff elements, working groups, and planning teams provide input on final operation plans and operation orders, and they complete and coordinate required attachments. Input from these planning efforts vary, but may be specified tasks, coordinating instructions, sustainment instructions, and fire support instructions. The unit prepares for multinational operations by implementing planned human, procedural, and technical dimension solutions. Preparation normally begins during planning and continues into execution by forces identified but not yet committed. Like the other activities of the operations process, commanders drive preparation activities with a focus on leading and assessing. When the situation permits, commanders seek to improve the contributions of national forces by planning for training assistance and sharing resources such as radios, vehicles, or weapons. Training assistance and dedicated liaison teams are important when working with forces that have digital capability and those with analog means. Effective integration in combat operations requires training beforehand through multinational command post exercises or through full-scale multinational exercises at combined training centers, such as the Joint Multinational Readiness Center in Germany. Commanders make every effort to integrate mission partners into the exercise design and planning conferences prior to exercise execution. This practice fosters buy-in and can serve as a substantial training event for the foreign staff officers as they plan alongside their United States counterparts. It also functions as a rehearsal, ensuring all parties understand and agree to the exercise design and training objectives prior to execution. Planning groups for multinational forces. When a multinational force is formed, the commander determines the organization and functions of the planning group and the methods for the group and the staff sections to interact during planning and execution. The planning group includes the commander and representatives from appropriate multinational staff sections and national formations. Challenges from these planning groups range from diversity and different perspectives to strategic and operational problems and solutions. This planning group should perform crisis action planning, be the focal point for the operation plan or operation order development, perform future planning, perform other tasks as directed by the commander, analyze and develop the MPE based on the commander's specific guidance. Mission Partner Environment Planning Considerations. Multinational operations present planning challenges for MPE planning. The Army MPE framework enables the Army, with the joint forces and mission partners, access to an information environment, such as an MPE-MPN. This environment supports required planning, training, and conduct of operations through all operational phases across the competition continuum. The MPE facilitates shared understanding, fosters mutual trust and confidence, and is critical to achieving unity of effort with all mission partners. The MPE generates strategic, operational, and tactical flexibility for national, regional, and deployed commanders by moving and managing information onto the MPN with appropriate common security enclaves. A significant planning challenge for MPE development and implementation involves adjudicating existing policy with desired MPE capabilities and functions. The Foreign Disclosure Officer gets involved early in the planning stages to determine appropriate levels of classification. This officer can assist with the right to release process and implementation of the foreign disclosure procedures. The Foreign Disclosure Officer categorizes and is the approval authority for the release of military information to foreign government representatives. Commanders and staffs must understand what information to share with mission partners to accomplish the mission. Commanders and staffs need to understand which United States systems can and cannot communicate with mission partner systems due to levels of classification. Once the multinational commander establishes MPE requirements, the staff plans for establishing the MPN tailored to information requirements of mission partners. Mission Partner Network Planning. Planning challenges occur with the MPN in multinational operations. The creation of an expeditionary MPE with an associated MPN supports required planning, training, and the conduct of operations. Commanders expect expeditionary MPEs to exist only during the mission and partners to be the only ones contributing to, supported by, or providing support to the specific mission. Planners tailor each specific expeditionary MPE-MPN topology for operations based on an operational environment and specific mission partners' information sharing requirements. This expeditionary MPE allows connectivity and reach back to the Enterprise MPE. Refer to ATP 6-02.61 and ATP 6-02.62 for more information on planning MPNs. Key Army requirements to implementing an expeditionary MPE include the following: rapidly configuring and deploying an MPE-MPN to support a new operation with a unique mix of mission partners, mission requirements, and objectives, standardizing information technology services across United States MPE contributions to eliminate duplication. Such services might include network operations, data handling and protection, user access and permissions, and network security. Standardizing common services, such as voice over internet protocol, email, chat, file sharing, and video teleconferencing, to ensure access and usability for all mission partners. Ensuring cybersecurity measures meet security objectives, whether implemented by the Army or a mission partner, and are balanced against the need for access and flow of information. Assigning and managing appropriate privileges and providing user access to mission communities of interest. Considering and implementing privacy controls across the multinational force to account for mission partner privacy laws to protect personally identifiable information and personal health information. Enabling authorized mission partner access to the Enterprise MPE and permitted communities of interest data enclaves, with appropriate access controls and data guards to prevent unauthorized access or data spillage. Integrating electromagnetic spectrum operations within MPE planning and implementation, providing a means to coordinate and convert datum, formats, and projections of geospatial data and information to develop a base map to support a COP, common reporting, and geospatial foundation data, implementing structured, tailorable, and intuitive data management, IM construct and KM construct to facilitate information sharing, developing and implementing technical and procedural dimension solutions to integrate Army Joint Mission Partner ground, air, and space operations. The solution must address air support requests, airspace control measures, and terminal attack guidance among mission partners. Integration of surface fires, rotary wing aviation, and fixed wing aviation among mission partners. Integration of surface, unmanned aircraft, rotary wing, fixed wing, and space-based ISR capabilities across the collection spectrum. Integration of air and missile defense capabilities with all mission partners to engage hostile air assets, such as manned and unmanned aircraft and missiles, and in accordance with planning guidance. Transition planning. Transitions are conditions-based, not time-based. Transitions are a process rather than a specific event. Commanders and their staff should think through the strategic, operational, and tactical situations, assets and resources, political factors, and environmental factors when considering transitioning from one imperative to another. National decision makers determine the political necessities for transition. Commanders and planners understand that these political factors, whether host nation, multinational force, alliances, or coalition, are likely to shape any conditions-based approach. The political environment could affect national institutions, public services, control of operational environments, or geographical areas. Multinational force commanders consider how actions taken by the multinational force may impact transition, the overall effect of the mission, or the national political environment. Transition planning is an integral part of operational planning and a hedge against the risk. Types of transitions from multinational forces. Planning varies for different types of transitions. One type of transition is a multinational force military relief in place. This transition has normal military operation emphasis on a mission and protecting the force. The relief in place uses doctrine from the lead nation. Commanders and staff plan by reading the lead nation's doctrine. A second type of transition is a multinational force military to civilian or UN authorities. This transition occurs with a normal UN civilian support type mission with emphasis on military support to the civilian and UN missions. In this transition, planning occurs as both the military and civilian authorities identify the conditions suitable for handover, identify and agree on responsibilities for C2 of the operation, identify the necessary phases of the operation. Also, in this transition, planning occurs as both the military and civilian authorities escalate or de-escalate. The command confirms multinational members, identifies ROE and national differences of ROE, identifies protection issues. Another transition is a multinational force military handover to a national government. This transition is a withdrawal. The military places emphasis on fully handing over responsibilities and allowing the government to assume power and authority. The commander identifies host nation capability gaps, and the national decision makers identify those capabilities that remain behind to ensure that an effective handover of authority and support to the government occurs. Considerations. Commanders and their staffs participating in multinational operations use the military decision-making process. Other doctrinal decision-making processes supporting multinational operations, such as the Army Design Methodology or troop leading procedures, may also be relevant. Note: units planning for a multinational exercise routinely begin planning for the exercise to include the military decision-making process, known as MDMP, in the final months before execution. The commander and staff, assisted by the mission partner coordinator, begin planning and implementing interoperability solutions for an exercise before the initial planning conference. The commander provides interoperability guidance. The staff develops plans and begins to implement solutions, such as operator training and MPN development, throughout the exercise planning process. They use the initial, mid, and final planning conferences as opportunities to collaboratively plan with mission partners, validate progress against the interoperability plan of action and milestones, and generate feedback from unit leaders and exercise controllers regarding progress to meet the commander's interoperability guidance. Step 1. Receipt of mission. Commanders answer the following questions about the force's participation in the operation concerning Step 1. Receipt of mission. Are the unit's mission partners, the task organization, command structure, and command relationships determined between the unit and mission partners? Does the commander establish additional ad hoc structure to support interoperability, or does the commander rely on direct coordination between unit and mission partner staff elements to conduct required interoperability planning and preparation? Does the commander appoint a mission partner coordinator to assist the staff and advise the commander in planning, implementation, execution, and assessment of interoperability solutions? Did the unit conduct initial coordination and staff or liaison exchanges with mission partners? Did the unit identify mission analysis information requirements and share these requirements with subordinates and mission partners? Did the unit issue a warning order to subordinates and mission partners? Step 2. Mission analysis. Commanders answer the following questions about the force's participation in the operation concerning Step 2, mission analysis. Are the relevant agreed-to standards determined between United States and mission partners? If no common standards exist, is a baseline standard determined to tailor to these specific circumstances? Are the force capabilities, limitations, and national caveats of each mission partner determined to enable shared understanding and unity of effort? Are the laws, policies, regulations, and higher guidance with impact on interoperability solutions determined? Is the higher headquarters order examined for interoperability guidance, such as force KM plans, theater ROE, network architecture, and COP data standards? Are the mission-critical interoperability requirements identified? Are the tactical tasks the commander identified with interoperability guidance and associated information exchange requirements used in KM and network planning? Our external resource requirements, such as TLDs, translators, and MPN hardware determined. Our changes to mission partner mix, command structure, authorities, and task organization identified to improve interoperability. Is a draft plan of action and milestones developed to synchronize and to meet planning and implementation requirements for interoperability solutions? Is a warning order published with updated interoperability requirements, identified standards, and other interoperability guidance as input to course of action, COA development? Step 3. COA development. Commanders answer the following questions about the force's participation in the operation concerning Step 3, COA development. Does the COA account for interoperability? Are changes to the ROE, KM, and coalition TTP required? Is an interoperability assessment plan developed with key measures and a focus on mission-critical interoperability requirements? Are initial liaison, training, and rehearsal plans developed? Step 4. COA analysis. Commanders answer the following questions about the force's participation in the operation concerning Step 4, COA analysis. Is the operational COA analyzed for interoperability implications, strengths, and weaknesses? Are unique mission partner support requirements identified for each operational COA based on assigned tasks and scheme of maneuver? Is mission partner feedback sought on an operational COA? Are common plans such as ROE, KM, interoperability assessment, and liaison refined? Step 5. COA comparison. Commanders answer the following questions about the force's participation in the operation concerning Step 5, COA comparison. Is mission partner input sought for COA comparison? Is ensured interoperability included in operational COA evaluation criteria? Are revised common plans, interoperability assessment plans, liaison plans, training and rehearsal plans based on COA comparison results? Step 6. COA approval. Commanders answer the following questions about the force's participation in the operation concerning Step 6, COA approval. Is interoperability input, provided to ensure internally consistent planning, nested in the higher commander's intent? Are tasks to mission partners clearly stated and understood? Did the unit issue a warning order to subordinates and mission partners with draft common plans and updated commander's guidance for interoperability? Step 7. Orders production, dissemination, and transition. Commanders answer the following questions about the force's participation in the operation concerning Step 7, orders production, dissemination, and transition. Are requests finalized and submitted for external resources to address interoperability requirements? Are requests finalized and submitted for waivers, required accreditations, authority to operate, and others? Are common plans completed and integrated, such as ROE, KM, liaison, and JMEI as attachments to an order? Are TTP and SOPs coordinated and finalized across mission partners and warfighting functions as attachments to an order? Are all preparation activities coordinated and scheduled with subordinate units and mission partners? Do they include training plans, rehearsal plans, and schedules as attachments to an order? Are orders translated and verified for each mission partner? Are completed orders delivered and acknowledged by higher headquarters, mission partners, and subordinate units?